What manner of man is this that even the winds and the sea obey him? I wish somebody asked me that question this week. And the Lord would give me grace to answer as that should be answered. Well, Lord willing, we're going to have our Bible conference in 2 weeks. Everybody pray for the Lord's blessing upon that. We will be having meals after the Saturday and Sunday morning service. And Friday night, the Vincents are going to have a bonfire at their house after the service, and everybody is invited to that. I've entitled this message, Holy Brethren. What does the Bible mean by the word holy? I couldn't really think of a more important thing for us to understand. Not that we'll ever truly, completely understand it, but there's no understanding of the gospel without some understanding of this thing as to what the Bible means by holy. Now, we read in the scriptures of holy vessels, holy cups, and so on, and there's nothing inherently in those things that are holy, but God said they were holy. That makes them holy. But the holiness spoken of here is more than that. Holy brethren. What is holy? The word means set apart, other, not of this world, sinless. Venerable. When the seraphims cried concerning the Lord, they cried, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is filled with his glory." Holy Father, the Holy One of Israel, the Holy Ghost, all three persons of the Godhead, holy, holy, holy. You know, we read in the scripture, the scriptures are called the Holy Scripture. There's no error in the scripture. There's nothing wrong in the scripture. It's all inspired by God. Holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Believers are called believers twice in the scripture. Christians twice in the scripture. Saints, holy ones is what the word means. 61 times. Now, every believer is a saint of God. Every believer is one that is called by the writer to the Hebrews a holy brethren. He's speaking to every believer when he says, holy brethren. Now, how can that be? In light of these scriptures, I'm going to quote these scriptures. You can look them up on your own. I'm going to quote them rapidly to save time. Genesis 6:5, "And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually." Isaiah 64, verse 6 says, "But we are all as an unclean thing, and our righteousnesses, filthy rags. Jeremiah 17:9 says, the heart is deceitful above all things. Somebody says, trust your heart. You better not. Scripture says, he that trusteth in his heart is a fool. The heart is deceitful above all things, desperately wicked. You know what that means? Incurable. It can't be made better. Romans 3:10, there is none righteous. No, not one. There's none that understands. There's none that seeketh after God. They have all together gone out of the way. They've together become unprofitable. There's none that doeth good. No, not one. The carnal mind, Romans 8:7-8. The carnal mind, the fleshly mind, the mind you were born with, the mind I was born with, is enmity against God. It's not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Let me read this passage of scripture from Job, chapter 15, verse 14. What is man that he should be clean? What a question. And he which is born of woman that he should be righteous? Behold, he putteth no trust in his saints. Yea, the heavens are not clean in his sight. How much more abominable and filthy is man which drinketh iniquity like water. Now, you've just heard those scriptural descriptions of me and you. Holy brethren? How can that be? Saints, holy ones. And I'm not talking about saint in the Catholic sense of the word, one who by his good works reaches the status of sainthood by what he does, and then the church declares him to be a saint. That's foolishness and evil. There's no truth to anything like that. Every believer is a saint. Every believer is a holy one. Now, how can that be in light of those scriptures I just read? I know this. If I don't have this holiness, I won't be in heaven. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. If I don't have this holiness, if I am not a holy brethren, I will not see the Lord. The only people who will be in heaven are holy people, sinless people. How can I be, how can you be one of these people called holy brethren? When Christ revealed himself to Peter, you know what Peter's response was? Depart from me. I am a sinful man. Oh Lord, you don't want to have anything to do with me. How could somebody like Peter, when he, by his own admission, he was a sinful man. That means full of sin. How could somebody like Peter or me or you be counted by God himself a holy brother? Look in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 11. For both he that sanctifieth, and that word sanctifies is makes holy. Both he that makes holy and they who are made holy. He that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified, both he that makes holy and they who are made holy are all of one, for the which cause he's not ashamed to call them brethren. Now, what this is speaking of is union with the Lord Jesus Christ. One with Him. If I'm one with Him, if He's holy, guess what? I am too. I'm one of these holy brethren. If I'm one with Him, turn to Ephesians chapter 5. I want you to look at this with me. This is so important. Ephesians chapter 5. Verse 25. Husbands, love your wives, even as also Christ loved the church and gave Himself for it, that He might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that He might present it to Himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own body. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. And you know what that means? If I'm one with Christ, and Scripture says both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one, this is speaking of union with Jesus Christ. The vine and the branches, the same stem that flows through the vine flows through the branches, and there is no connecting point. If I'm one with Him, when He loved me, He was loving Himself. Don't miss that. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. When Christ loved me, He was loving Himself because I'm one with Him. Is He holy? I am too. 1 Corinthians 1:30 says, of Him are you in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and holiness and redemption. I am holy for this singular reason. God made Christ to be my holiness. And beloved, this is true with regard to every child of God. They are holy ones, saints of God. Now, before we go on with this, I want to ask you this question. Is this what the Bible teaches? Not is this what a particular brand or denomination or preacher teaches. Is this what the Bible teaches? That Jesus Christ is my holiness before God. Well, it says He's made unto us by God holiness. Now, all of these initial descriptions are true with regard to all of these holy ones. They're sinful and they are holy. Christ is their holiness. Let me quote two scriptures. Paul said in 1 Timothy 1:15, this is a faithful saying, and it's worthy of all acceptation. You ought to accept this, receive it, believe it as the best thing you've ever heard. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I used to be the chief before God saved me. Didn't read it right, did I? Present tense, active voice, of whom I am right now the chief. Paul said in Romans 7:24, O wretched man that I used to be until God saved me. No. O wretched man that I am. Only the holy brethren and all the holy brethren see themselves in this light. And if you do not see yourself in that light, it's because you're unholy. You do not have a holy nature. that recognizes sin in the first place. The only reason someone would struggle with this is because they don't know what sin is. If you have a holy nature, you know what sin is and you know how sinful you are. If you don't have a holy nature, this is goes over your head. You don't get it. A believer in this life is a sinner, O wretched man that I am, and a saint, a holy one, a sinless one, both men in the same body. Now, let me tell you why every believer is a holy brethren. And by the grace of God, I'm going to be given what the scripture teaches. Not my opinion or thoughts, but what the Bible teaches with regard to this. You know, I don't know why I always feel a need to say this, but I always do. I don't understand anything I believe, but I believe it all. I don't grasp, I don't intellectually grasp any of this. I believe it though. I believe it with all my heart. And something you can understand, there just isn't much to it if you can understand it, or if I can understand it. It's just not, it just ain't much to it. It's just human. It's fleshly, it's carnal. This is above the ability of a man to intellectually grasp, but it's something every believer believes. Why am I a holy brethren? If I'm a believer, why am I a holy brethren? First, because God chose me to be holy. Ephesians 1:4 says, according as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him. Now the foundation, the origination, if you will, of holiness is the electing purpose of God. If you're a holy brethren, it's because He, before time began, chose you to be holy and to be without blame before Him. Now, I'm a holy brethren because He chose me to be a holy brethren. And if He chose me to be a holy brethren, guess what? I'm a holy brethren. I'm one of them. Let me show you a scripture in Hebrews chapter 10. Would you turn with me there? Hebrews chapter 10. Verse 9. Then said He, lo, I come to do Thy will, O God. That's the Lord Jesus Christ speaking. He taketh away the first, the covenant of works, that He may establish the second, by the which will, God's will, that's the which will, by God's will, we are sanctified. We are holy. Now, if God willed you to be holy, is there any way, under any circumstances, where God's will is not done? If God wills you to be holy, is there any way you can be anything but holy? No. By the which will we are sanctified. We are made holy. But don't miss this. By the which will we are sanctified. How? Through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ. Now remember, holiness is sinlessness. Holiness is sinlessness. How can I be without sin? There's only one way. Through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ on Calvary's tree. You see, my sin became His sin. He took my sin and my sorrow and He made it His very own. He bore the burden to Calvary and suffered and died alone. My sin became his sin. And you know what he did with my sin? He put it away. 1 John chapter 3, verses 5 and 6 says, he was manifest to take away our sin. And in him is no sin. If I'm in him, I have no sin. Now, do you hear that? If you're in Jesus Christ, you don't have any sin. You're holy. You're without sin. Now, preacher, how can you say that I committed a sin this morning? You committed a whole lot more than that this morning. The point is, in Christ Jesus, he put all of those sins away. And I stand before God right now while I'm talking to you without sin, justified in his sight by virtue of the blood of Jesus Christ. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, I stand before God as a holy brethren, a sinless brother. I'm made holy by God's choice of me to be holy before time began. I'm made holy by the work of Christ in my behalf. Turn with me to Colossians chapter 1. I want to emphasize this with one other scripture. Colossians chapter 1, verse 20. Colossians 1, verse 20, and having made peace through the blood of his cross. I can't help but make this comment every time I read this passage of Scripture. Somebody, have you made your peace with God? No, Christ made my peace with God. He made my peace with God. Having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself. By him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven, and you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you, what? Holy. Unblameable. And unreprovable in his sight. Now, let me remind you, his sight is how it really is. Your sight, my sight, we don't see anything when it comes right down to it. Don't see the reality of anything. In his sight is how it is. And if I'm holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight, that means I'm holy, unblameable, and unreprovable. He sees things as they are, not as they should be, as they are. Now, not only are the holy brethren chosen to be holy in eternal election, not only are they declared to be holy by the precious blood of Christ that made them holy and sinless, every one of these holy ones are holy. They have a holy nature. They have a sinless nature. Now, what this is a reference to is regeneration, being born again, being made a new creature, a new creation, something that was not there before. But when he creates it in you, there it is, a new man, a new nature, a new creation, one that was not there before. Turn with me to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. I want you to read this. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Verse 13. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation. What comes next? Through sanctification of the Spirit. The sanctifying work of God the Holy Spirit in regeneration. It's called the new birth. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. And it can never rise above that. Anything that comes from my natural flesh is sin. That's all it is. That's all it is. But that which is born of the Spirit is Spirit. Now, I want to ask you a question. I want you to think about this. Can God the Holy Spirit give birth to anything but that which is holy? Can He give birth to a sinful, something that comes from Him? Can it be sinful? No. Every believer is given a new nature, born of the Spirit, and that new nature is a sinless nature. I want to look at two scriptures. I'm asking you to turn to a lot of scriptures, but I want you to see this. Turn to 1 Peter chapter 3. 1:1, likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may, without the word, be won by the conversation of the wives, while they behold your chaste conversation, coupled with fear, whose adorning, let it not be the outward adorning of plaiting the hair and of wearing of gold and of putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart, in that which is not corruptible. Now this hidden man of the heart, and I think it's very interesting the way Peter calls it a hidden man. You know why it's hidden? Because you can't see it. You can't look within your heart and say, yep, that's holy. You can't do that. You see two natures coming out of one consciousness. That means that I never say, yeah, that's holy and that's not. No, because it's all coming out of that one consciousness. Kind of like I've used this illustration before, the hot water and the cold water, they all came out of that one spigot. So you can't really distinguish the two. But every believer does have this new man, which is not even subject to corruption. That's what it says. Which is not corruptible, even the ornament, that which is beautiful. Here is what this looks like, a meek and a quiet spirit which is in the sight of God of great price. Now, meekness is an attitude toward God, that whatever He does is right. Whatever He does is right because He did it. That's where humility comes from. God is God and I'm not, obviously. And whatever He does is right, just, holy, and good because He did it. That's meekness before God. Quiet, tranquil, peaceable, not always looking for a fight, not always becoming angry. Peaceable. Peaceable. Turn to 1 John chapter 3. Verse 9. 1 John chapter 3, verse 9. Whosoever is born of God, birthed by the Spirit, born again, doth not commit sin. What's that say? It says whoever is born of God does not commit sin. Somebody says that means he doesn't practice sin. That's not the rule of his life. That's not the general tenor of his life. You're a big fat liar if you think that about yourself. I shouldn't have said it that way. The point is, sin's not the bent tenor of my life. All that's in me is sin. In me, in my flesh. I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. But I have a holy nature that does not commit sin. That's what the Bible says. That's what the Bible says. What's it say? He that's born of God doth not commit sin. For his seed, the seed of God, remains in him, and he cannot sin. He lacks the ability to sin because he's born of God. Now understand this about holiness. Holiness cannot sin. If it can sin, it's unholy. Amen? That's the truth. Holiness cannot sin. Look in 1 John chapter 5, verse 18. We know, verse 18, we know that whosoever is born of God, what? Sinneth not. Sinneth not. But he that is begotten of God keepeth himself, and that wicked one toucheth him not. Now I want you to think about what's being said there. Do you remember when the Lord said, of the prince of this world is coming, has found nothing in me? You know what it means? He didn't have anything to work with. Christ could not sin. You know, I've heard people say, well, yeah, he could have, but he didn't. No, he couldn't have. Because if he could have, that means he could mutate. That means he could change. That means he's not God. God cannot sin. Jesus Christ cannot sin. That which is born of God cannot commit sin. His seed remains in him. God's seed. He can't sin. The wicked one, you know the wicked one? He's got plenty to work with in my old man, but he's got nothing to work with in my new man. He can't touch me because I'm born of God. Now, how can this be? How does one have a holy nature? How can one be a holy, brethren? Well, God chooses you to be holy. Christ declares you to be holy, sinless because of his blood. God the Holy Spirit gives you this holy nature being born of God. This is what being born again is. This is so basic to the gospel, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. This is how God saves. God the Father elects. God the Son redeems. God the Holy Spirit regenerates, gives life. Now, how can I know if I have this holy nature? Because I can't see it. I can see its effects, but I can't see it. How can I know? Of his own will begat he us through the word of truth. We're bound to thank God always for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. Now this I know, anybody that is one of these holy brethren, here is the evidence, they believe the truth. They believe the truth. They believe the truth concerning the true character of God as he's revealed in this word. They believe everything he says about himself in this word. They believe the truth. The truth concerning the true character of God, his holiness, his sovereignty, his justice. They believe the truth concerning God. They believe the truth concerning themselves. They really do believe that they're nothing but sin in and of themselves. Every one of them. They believe the truth concerning the gospel of how God saves sinners by Christ. You know, I know every believer will hear the truth, the whole truth, and bow to it and receive it and believe it. How do I know that? He that's of God heareth God's words. What else needs to be said? And then he said to these fellows who he was speaking to, he said, you therefore hear them not, because you're not of God. He that's of God heareth God's words. Holy brethren, this is the description of every believer without exception. Holy brethren, chosen to be holy, declared holy by the blood of Christ, given a holy nature in regeneration, in the new birth. And this is evidenced by this simple thing. They believe the truth. Let's pray. Lord, how we thank you for your holiness, for your otherness, for your altogether gloriousness. And Lord, we are thankful, acknowledge, and stand amazed that you gave your holy Son for such as us, that we might be holy brethren. You chose us for that. You made us that way through the blood of thy dear Son, and you gave us your Holy Spirit to cause us to be holy brethren. And Lord, we do by your grace. I pray that it might be said with regard to each person here, we do believe your truth, the truth of your gospel. Now bless this word for Christ's sake. Be with us as we meet together tonight, for Christ's sake. In his name we pray.